Okay, I've got 9:03. We'll go ahead and call this regular meeting of the Corio County Commissioners Court to order at this time, noting that all members of the court are present. For those of you that are here in person, if you've got an electronic device, we'd ask that you place it on silence at this time. And for those of you participating by Zoom, we would ask that you put your device on mute until such time that you would need to address the court. We'll begin this morning with a word of prayer. I would ask, humbly ask that we take just a couple of moments of silence in remembrance of those that were celebrated and memorialized yesterday throughout the nation. God, our Father in heaven, we're so thankful to have you watching over us today. We come before you humbly asking for the forgiveness of our sins. And Lord, we're so appreciative of those that you guide and direct that protect us here on earth as you watch over us from heaven. Lord, we're always thankful for the blessings that you continue to bestow upon us. And we also are thankful for your guidance and your wisdom. Lord, we humbly ask that you bless this court with guidance, wisdom, and direction, so that we may do here on earth what honors you in heaven. We ask these things in your son's holy name. Amen. And the pledge to our flags. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible. Next item on our agenda is the public forum. Citizens may address the court on any matter other than matters concerning county personnel or matters under litigation. Each citizen be allocated 5 minutes with a total time not to exceed 30 minutes. Is there anyone here in person that would like to address the court this morning? Seeing and hearing none, is there anyone participating by Zoom that would like to address the court this morning? Seeing and hearing none, we'll move on to item number 5 on the agenda, which is the consent agenda, noting that there are 3 items there. You may consider that as one action, or the court may choose to pull any of those and discuss them individually.
Make a motion to consent agenda A, B, and C.
Second. We've got a motion to approve the consent agenda by Commissioner Basham, a second by Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussions on item number 5? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 6 on the agenda is the road and bridge report. Mr. Latham was here.
Yeah, he's working on 5 o'clock.
Okay. Does anybody have anything to cover under the road and bridge report? Hearing none, we'll move on to item number 7, which is update and actions on grants to include but not limited to those that are listed there, SS4A. Again, we are in the process of trying to recoup some of the previous funds as well as the submission. Let's see, we have Mr. Manning from NRS is here today. Mr. Manning, did we get you that third project for submission under the SS4A?
Yes, Judge. Road Bridge is here. So, our understanding that you're going to want to replace the original project on Shell Creek and Ball Knot, which I believe is going to now be funded under the Community Development Block Grant.
That is correct.
With Cottonwood Creek and Ball Knot. And if that's just to communicate that to me a few days ago, and that's accurate, and I believe it is, then we're going to incorporate that into the project application.
Okay. All right.
We have one other thing. So on the SS4A, we went back and reviewed our notes from the, we had some after action extending with U.S. Department of Transportation after our last grant application. And they advised us on some things to do a little bit differently that would make this possible. So one of those was to break up the, that total project application is about $30 million.
Mm-hmm.
And About half of that is construction, and about half is more planning and audits and that kind of thing. So they advise us to break the audit component into a different application and apply for the. There's a different bucket of money for planning that is less competitive, and so we've got the planning pieces of this are going to be. It's mainly audits, which are basically doing identifying and mapping and doing all the groundwork. It's not the actual construction, but it's for pedestrian crossings, bike lanes, pavement marking, striping, road curve audits, and supplemental for demo activities. A total amount for that would be 13.2. So unless the court has any concerns about that, our intention is to file two separate applications. Well, and break out, as advised by our Department of Transportation, we will break out the planning activities, the audit activity, and apply for those in two, so it'll be two separate applications. Again, we're doing this, no additional cost to the county, we're just going to apply. So I don't know that there's any decision for y'all, but if y'all have a concern about anything, we sure like to hear about it. We've only got about 3 weeks to get this in.
Very good. Thank you. Does anybody have any questions Mr. Manning concerning the submission of the application? Okay. Very good. Thank you. Hazard mitigation plan. We're just in the recoupment reimbursement phase with the HMP. The RCP, I have contacted MRB for them to assume the grant management piece of that. I've not heard back from them, but indicated to them that that was part of our contractual agreement, that they would be submitting those monthly reports, as well as believe we are eligible for some recoupments under that as well. Community development block grant, again, other than the initial contact we had from the GLO about a month ago identifying the award, have not seen an actual grant manager assigned to that to work with us as far as the projects that we have to be executed under that particular grant. DR 4781, I failed to coordinate the meeting with them last week. I'll re-engage with FEMA as well as Road and Bridge. The key things I think you heard out of the last our last regular meeting was that there's some conflict between how we're tracking projects and how we've grouped them versus how FEMA wants to track them and group them. I don't intend for us to do duplicate work. If they want to take our format and put it in their format, that's fine. But I think Mr. Latham has a good system going, and so I've told him I support what he's doing and moving that forward. With that, there is Cat A that needs to be verified, and we should have reimbursements on it. And that is the clearance and elimination of vegetation, also called debris, but debris is a larger category. Ours was strictly vegetation. And then we have portions of category B that we've, I believe, have taken care of, and that's the emergency repairs that are done. And then category C is still our evolving. Some of our category C, which is the regular completed work. Justin's done a great job of getting it broken down into what has actually been completed, what is our county standards for completing those projects. And some of it's roadways, some of it's culverts, some of it's low water crossings. And then there within that same category C. So you've got category C that's complete. And then we have some category C that we're still working on. And to that end, there is a portion of Category C that is also falls under mitigation, which we're working on. We've got the engineers under contract to be able to do some of the engineering work that we will need to be able to submit that, to be able to get those approved as individual projects. So that's my very concise update on 4781. Mr. Latham, is there anything that you want to add to that?
Well, that's right, yes. So we track it by road and house. We are breaking a little of that up, Judge. But we just track it, say, like County Road 100, you know, you depend on it. Initially, we broke out the Category A, so we can highlight that out. Now, we're going through and we have the A. Then say like County Road 100, we're going to break out the B and the C work kind of in our database. That way we can just submit, here's our B on where it is and projects, and then here's our C work. That is kind of the format. One of the things that they had asked, but I think the point is going to be you have to say whether they agree with what we consider B and or not, you know, that'll be the next thing we have to discuss with them. But currently, we don't have a PDMG, I don't think, and that might not be 100% accurate, but we have an interim because Mary went out on rotation.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's kind of why we've been just kind of been radio silent for a few weeks. So I did talk with Desiree this morning. Told her to send an email out saying, hey, do we need to set up a meeting or what do we need to do here? We haven't had no guidance in 2-3 weeks. So I believe she CC'd you in that email. She sent it out at 8:30 just while ago.
Okay.
All
right.
You got to respond.
We'll reengage with them and get.
Which days? We were trying to. Think which days are best for you, Judge? I figured Mondays and Tuesdays you're busy, but Wednesday, Thursday, would one of those days?
Well, I thought our last discussion was the Tuesdays that are offset from Commissioner's Court.
Okay.
And get the next five of those scheduled and on the calendar so that they've got some predictability as to what that day is, because I think they're good for Fridays, but you know, that doesn't work within your schedule. Wednesdays and Thursdays are challenges for me, based off some other meeting conflicts. So the Tuesdays that are off set from Commissioner's Court, and again, we'll plan out the next five.
Judge, one last thing on 4781.
Yeah.
So the core's focus up at this point has been with FEMA funds for 4781. Coryell County is also eligible for HUD funds. Those funds have just been released to the state, about $500 million. Coryell County is eligible for those funds. The state action plan was put out for public comment about 10 days ago. The public comment period ends on June the 16th. We may recommend some comments for the county to consider late on the June 16th for that deadline. As the action plan currently states, this county as a jurisdiction would be eligible for two projects. The floor for that is $500,000 per project. The ceiling is $5 million. You may want to consider projects that you would like to apply for. It is our understanding that once the window is closed on June the 16th, the state will very soon after that open up a NOPO for application for projects.
So is that separate of things?
Has nothing to do with it.
Okay.
Nothing to do. Different standard, different bucket of money, same event, 4781.
But it's stemming from the van.
4781 eligible. This county is eligible. Every jurisdiction in this county has the same rules. Two projects, 500, 5 mil. Like I said, the action plan just went out for comment Friday before last. And the time they're hurried, they're going to close the comment window on the 16th, leave it out for 30 days, take about 2 weeks to finalize and fire off notebooks for everybody. So I think this county is well positioned. You've got a lot of projects on the books that have been designed over past efforts. You probably just, I don't know. Justin, I haven't been involved with the FEMA stuff since the beginning, since early on, so I don't know where you all are, but I bet you still got other things that you could find that would be eligible.
Would that be, what's the criteria? Oh, Jim, this is true.
You have to run past my knowledge this morning. I'll get somebody else looking at that.
Okay.
But it's in the action plan. We can help you with that, or you can get somebody else. I'm just letting you know that you're kind of on a short timeline. I think that y'all will be in a position to apply. I think you've got plenty of projects out there. And there's actually four different buckets of money. There's some for housing, there's some for infrastructure. So you may apply for, you may be eligible under more than one bucket of funds.
Yeah.
You don't have much time.
I don't want to step outside my bounds, but I believe Mr. Latham has a pretty strong list of areas that could be addressed from an infrastructure standpoint. And then it would, of course, be working with the cities of Gatesville, Coppers Cove, Oglesby, Evant, to see if there are some needs under other buckets of money where we could help facilitate the projects that meet the guidelines and the criteria.
Yeah, it's not limited to just the county. I think all the jurisdictions are eligible.
Well, thank you for that update. Anything else to cover under 4780? Questions or concerns? Okay. And then the last one, this is a new one we kind of added, is the Leon Cowhouse Flood Project. As I think most of you are aware, that under previous designations, the GLO has authorized funding to the American Conservation Foundation for a pretty extensive study under the Leon River watershed as well as the Cowhouse watershed. And so I've asked Mr. Manning, if he would kind of give us an update, so we can stay aware of where we are in this piece, because it is going to have a significant impact, Coryell County.
Yeah, thanks, Judge. So two things that are sort of time sensitive. One, in the next few weeks, we will begin to select locations for the installation of additional flood monitoring equipment in both Leon and the Cowhouse. Blackland is going to fund 7 of those sensors, and ACL is going to fund additional 7. So we're going to put 14 additional gauges, some combination of Leon and Cowhouse, not just in Coryell County, but throughout the entire watershed. We'll want to get some input from this jurisdiction about where some of those gauges may go. We may want to. In a perfect world, you put them in a place where they're easily accessible. We also don't want folks shooting with the 22s and, all that. So we kind of need to find a place to put them that's not too hard to get to. But maybe on, they might be on private property, but close to a road somewhere. That's kind of what we're thinking about. A&M and our group are working together to figure out where the gaps are, because there are some gauges in the river now, USGS gauges, as y'all are aware. So we want to supplement that. So over the next, at some point in the next few weeks, we'll come back to y'all and ask about your input about where some of those may go. We'll give you some better explanation about what we're doing there. When I say we, A&M, ACF, the whole group. So that's one thing. I'll see if you've got any questions or anybody at the court has questions on that before I go to the next.
Those gauges that you're talking about, would it be like say, Gator on 321? It would treat like one of those arms coming down.
So we don't have the arm piece built in yet.
Okay.
Although that we also have a little different thing, but we also have signage. And I've talked to Road and Bridge about this. So we have money in there for signage which we, I don't know if we could get away with arms or not, Commissioner, maybe, but there is funding available for the entire project area. And for Coryell County, what we had intended to do was work with the road bridges vendors. We'll figure out the areas where those signs are most appropriate. And I think that the project funds would pay for, we would ask Road and Bridge to put the signs in. We'll pay for them, use their vendor, and add those warning signs in. I don't know if we'll have arms or not. I've got, that's A&M's. They're funding that piece of it, so I don't have vision into that, but we can talk about it. But we'll come back to court and talk about that again, too.
Okay.
I'm glad you asked that. I forgot the signage is in the same task as the gauge. But the gauge is what that really is. That's going to be, it may not be a full-blown USGS device, but it will be something where we're able to track flow and depth and all those things. We'll have telemetry, so we'll have real-time feed going back into our early warning system, goes back to the sheriff's office, back to all the appropriate folks within the county and the jurisdiction.
Would it be able for the schools with like some bus routes that we give information they can't go that route because the water's over the road, cut deal is worth?
So, yes. So, I hadn't planned on talking about this, but we're also, we've had meetings with the school district. We've had at least some initial contact with everybody except Cove. I haven't gone to Cove yet. But Oglesby, Evant, Jonesboro, and Gainesville are all looking at. Some of those school districts, Gainesville and I think Oglesby, have at least some sort of minimal tracking system. Gainesville spent, they got more money. They've got a good tracking system for their buses. Oglesby has a kind of step down version of that. They're not spending quite as much money. We haven't had the technical call at Evant or Jonesboro that committed to talk with us. But what we believe we're going to be able to do is to have tracking on all those buses where dispatch and emergency management and whoever else needs to be able to see the buses in real time. And then we'll also be able to get information back to those buses if there's a flood event or any kind of emergency, we'll be able to flow that information two ways. So the sensors play into that, Commissioner, in that if we've got crossings, if you think about this time last year, instead of just driving around with orange cones, you know, maybe some of that, but we're going to be able to tell where those crossings are flooded and get that out to folks like school districts and road and bridge and the public. So the sensors are part of that. The emergency management, the software program that we've been working with you guys for the last couple of years, the sheriff's office is part of that. It's all the same system.
That'll be understanding, right? That's early warning indication too.
Like, it's predictive model. It'll tie
the weather. These sensors tie to that algorithm, and then it'll basically tell us that it's predicting this crossing will flood in some time frame in the future, like 30 minutes to an hour.
Well, actually, it'll go out several days, but it's tied to National Weather Service models. Mm-hmm. So it, just like with the weather prediction you get on TV, the closer you get to the event, the tighter it gets.
Right.
That model is running every hour. And so it'll spit out a new prediction.
Right, it'll be sending us information saying the closer it gets, it'll be narrowing that.
It'll get tighter. And then once it actually is rain, then it's not predictive anymore. It's a different kind of deal. Then it's going to be really tight.
Right.
If it's raining somewhere in the watershed, then I guess you'd call it predictive, but it's really going to be really tight because you know that this much water's hit and we can time out when it's going to hit a particular road across it.
So what that allow us to do is instead of going out there and trying to cone one off that's flooding, you might have to drive 30 miles around to the cone on the other side of barricades. You can maybe get out there preemptively and cross the crossing and barricade it off.
And we'll have a public disclosure. You know, we've got a county, we're furnishing the side of the county now for fires. We did the same cycle of flood. So the public's going to your county website right now for fire, Judge. We just have a flood page. And we did something very rough, but sort of like that with the sheriff's office this time last year. We were working with them, and as they would give us feedback, we were manually going in and putting those crossings in as closed. This time it'll all be on software.
When you talk about the 14 you know, sites that are those specific to Coryell County, or is this is the full study area that we're looking at, that 14?
Full study area. So there are, I don't know, and I don't think where they're going to go. That's really the A&M folks, and then David and Casey are working that. And I haven't seen, I know that they've got some kind of a layout. We're going to come back to y'all like we are the other counties and talk about where we generally, where we want to place those centers and take advantage of where USGS already has gauges and fill in the gaps. Yeah. There's lots of gaps.
Yeah, so most of this was the scout house in Leon River. Are any of those centers going to be in any of the other major tributaries, I'll call them, the creeks, like Coryell Creek?
Or well, that's part, yeah. I mean, it's
part of, okay, so it's
right. Right, and again, I'm not the mobber, but I think right. they're looking at the major, so like for the Leon in this county, Coryell Creek's big one. Yeah. And so it's the same. We've got to allocate 14 of these devices within the entire watershed. So I don't know exactly where they're going to place them, but they're going to look at the large sub-basins that feed into the Leon. Same for the county.
On three, maybe what the larger
Dodds. I mean, I don't know exactly what they'll do, but in a perfect world, we gauge all of it. We don't have the money to do that, so we've got to be selective.
How many counties have been spread through?
So we really got 7 counties that are big players in this. You've got Eastland Mills, Comanche, Hamilton, Coryell, Bell, and then we've got a little bit of ERAP that are really the ones that we're having the most conversation with. And we've actually mapped out all of their water crosses and all that.
Rough idea, going to be 2 centers in our area is what y'all be looking for.
I think it's going to be based more off of where the gaps are and the gauges that they're covering. I haven't seen the layout, but I know that they've got a plan for that.
More of the sensors, more accurate models.
Absolutely. More data, the more. The tighter we can make it. So, Judge, that sort of goes to the second thing, and I'll try not to take up too much more of the course time. You may recall that you and Commissioner Batchel were part of a meeting back 2+ years ago with some of the Middle Trinity folks. We had A&M come over and we talked about groundwater modeling. So you know there's a groundwater model component to this flood study. And it's very that model is very Coryell County specific. It pushes out of the other areas, but the center of that model is Coryell County because the county asked for help early on with groundwater. We got a lot of groundwater issues. So Blackland has asked me to come to you. They're ready to come sit down with the county and talk about the model and figure out what questions you want to answer. What are the things you really need to know about that model? Okay. Is it water availability? Is it how new infrastructure would impact water supplies. So what they're asking for, they would like to come sit down. It doesn't need to be in court necessarily. I talked to the county attorney about this, but it needs to be like a will attend meeting where y'all show up, but you're not voting on anything, and other folks can be there. But they want to lay out what the groundwater model is doing, and they need to hear from you and maybe some of the other stakeholders. I know Oglesby's got some serious water issues, Commissioner. They want to hear from folks about what questions you want answered. They'll go back and make some model runs and come back and report that back to the county. And they would like to do that. They have proposed to do that kind of in mid-July. The county attorney pointed out to me that might not be an awful time for the court to start doing something like that. So maybe the end of June, last week in June, we could have some kind of a, I don't know what the schedule looks like, but they're willing to come over and sit down and lay this out. The big ones that I know that have been a concern in the past, of course, is the status of groundwater, how much, what's happening with it. We've got certain areas in the county where the wells are going dry. Why is that? And the model will help with that. Then also, I think when y'all get into development, where road bridge, I think is the entity for the county, where you've got new developments that are being proposed, you're trying to figure out whether or not there's enough water, this model answers that question. I know Middle Trinity has a model. That model is a coarser scale. It's looking at a larger thing. This one was designed specifically for here. So I'm just suggesting that y'all think about the kinds of things you would want A&M to answer for you with this opportunity. So if y'all can think about a date, maybe give me some heads up about what would work in that last, maybe that last full week of the month or the next month, if that's possible. I think they're willing to come here or wherever you want to set up.
Yeah.
With the whole last week of June.
I think we can come up with a couple of proposed dates. See what fits for them as well.
I can set the PowerPoint thing up and let them walk through. And
yeah.
Yeah, I'll get this question, please.
I think the more, the better.
Last week of June is good for me.
Any other questions, Judge, on Cowhouse, Leon Cowhouse work?
We start talking about, you know, kind of proposed sites.
Sensors.
For the sensors. We're going back to that one. So there's kind of two pieces to this. One of it is the actual measurement of what's on site versus, you know, what's happening upstream and the predictive side of things. Is it your intent that we're focused on, you know, the sites that are just within Coryell County that we think, because that is independent, that helps the downstream. I mean, it'll give us accurate data for what is currently happening, but it's not the predictive side of things. Am I phrasing that correctly? I mean,
if I understand your question, I believe that what we would do is make available to the port all of the different locations within the watershed they're being contemplated.
Yeah.
And where we need help with a particular county is we may want to work with some landowner to get access rather than have it out on the road where somebody messes up with the equipment. We might want to put it off just like a way.
Okay.
And so, there's two parts to that.
And within that, and this is just kind of a, not that it is significant, but is Fort Cavazos, have they bought into this or as part of this study, will ACF, Blackland, and NRS have access to Fort Cavazos to put monitoring equipment on there, or is that just shielded off?
So Fort Cavazos is sort of ironic, but Fort Cavazos, if you go across the fence line into the installation, they are heavily instrumented. Their problem is they can't see past the fence line. Okay. And nearly all their impacts are the Cowhouse watershed.
Yeah.
So those soldiers keep getting washed off in the creek because the port doesn't know what's going on until it hits the sensor pickup or house creek. And so we already have access. So we have a public site right now where you can see all their live feed off of that.
Okay.
So we've got that posted up. What they need and they are bought into is being able to get access to what's going on upstream. So if you think about the flood event last May, that water hit the gauge of Pinco. It was a 12-foot rise in 3 hours.
Yeah.
Too late. If you water that fast, there's no way they can plan around and move around, which is why people get hurt. If we're going upstream of the Cowhouse all the way up into Mills County, and we're reading all the way down through there, then they got the full benefit of all of that readout all the way through. So yeah, yes, they are absolutely bought into it.
Okay. All right. We'll put together a couple of proposed dates, get the court's feedback, and then submit those to you to kind of work, you know. And at the same time, we'll work on compiling a list, try to have them a read ahead list, so that they've got some direction of kind of what we're looking at and what we're asking.
Thanks, Jim.
Okay. Any other questions, comments, concerns from the court concerning the study on the Leon and Cowhouse flood project? Okay. We'll move on to item number 8, which is to consider an interlocal agreement with South Mountain on road work. I believe Commissioner Basham had.
Yes, sir. Me and Mr. Blake met with South Mountain Council. I believe that was on Wednesday. And they have 2.5 miles of road that they want to needs to be rehabbed. And we have got our quota of $45,350 that they have agreed to pay for the materials. I think the last one was in 2017.
Yes, there's some for the year. They do that like clockwork every 7 years. I don't know how long they've been doing it prior, but I know I've done it once, I believe, in around 17 time frames since I've been at Road and Bridge. I believe they done it in 2009. Prior to that, they try to stay on about a 6 to 8 year cycle. Seems like we've always done this, like pay for the materials and do it, they have the infrastructure.
I'd make a motion to approve the interlocal agreement with South Mountain on the work.
Thank you.
Got a motion to approve the interlocal agreement with South Mountain from Commissioner Matthews, second from Commissioner Basham. Any further discussion?
What road is it? Are there multiple roads?
There's 2.9 miles.
It's Apache, Geronimo,
Navajo, Comanche.
Okay, so those kind Randy. Of side streets back.
Yes.
Barton.
Yeah.
Well, Barton Lane is actually is the county. Right, but they're off.
Well,
yes. Yes.
In their city limits, but there's some agreement. We just always maintain part
of that. All right. So my question, under this agreement, they're paying for materials, but not man hours. Is that correct?
Yes.
They're not, to the best of my knowledge, they don't charge property taxes. So my question becomes, how are they paying for the $45,350.
They have cell, to my knowledge, they have cell towers. They bought their council owns the property and they receive a monthly income. I believe it's some kind of tower. It's the old internet. I don't know what it is, but that's how they fund their.
Okay.
Fund their maintenance. Good or something like that. It's
I mean, because I've heard some things and I'm not going to get into, you know, the rumor mill, but I've heard some of the funding sources that I question, and I don't want to put the county in a position to where we're getting involved in something that's not being funded under a you know, the correct source. If you're confident that they do have the funds available to be able to pay for this, then you know, I'm not here to object to that. I just want to make sure that we do have the funds available.
It's good they did agree to the forward price.
And there's no concerns about us not recouping any of our labor costs. I'm asking the question because, you know, if we're paving their roads, then our road crews aren't paving our roads. So those are lost man hours, you know, that they're gaining from us. Not saying that we haven't done it in the past, but I'm just bringing that. Okay. Any other questions or discussions? All right, we do have a motion and a second on the floor. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item number nine, discuss and consider renewing contract with Time Clock Plus. I believe Commissioner Matthews.
It's my recommendation, yes. And at the end of it, working through some issues with the Time Clock system, they seem to be working better than they did before, working through those issues, breaking them out, global clock, et cetera. But my recommendation would only be for a 1 year renewal to make sure that all these issues are solved. If they're not solved, then we're going to have to find something else.
Commissioner, they're wanting to come to visit with, say, Road and Bridge and whoever else, you know, with their concerns and what they're looking for to get them with it.
Currently, they are working with the Treasurer's Office and the Times for the payroll. Starting with the Road and Bridge Department, all the issues that his department has been forwarded to the Treasurer. It's also been forwarded to Time Clock, trying to make sure that they can do all those things, which they say they can. And at some point, yes, they are willing to send a technical team or do it remotely to solve those problems, is what they're saying.
June something, right, for our actual...
Yeah, I think it's the 5th. I think the 5th. It's weird.
Weird? Wondered if we could... I guess first off, we really don't have a contract to approve today. This is just a proposal. I mean, I really said I'd like for those guys to come in and make a presentation to us and little, you know, findings of what they found before we sign up with them. And then I think if we based on here over here, then, you know, why just 1 year? You know, I mean, if it's good, then we lock in and get the 5 year and we rock on down the road with our time keeping, you know, source. Just me.
Right.
The other thing that I looked in here too, and I don't know when the last time that we did an employee census who is registered on the clock. If I did the math right, we've got 169 registered people. I will bet it's kind of like our Social Security system. There's probably some 105-year-old people on there that don't exist anymore in this county, and we're paying $31. And, you know, so I don't know if it's licensed per group. I don't know if it's... Because if you look at the first page, you know, they gave us license cost per employee is $31.16. Just divided that into 52, 6603, and I came up with 169 registered employees. So before we go paying for 169 employees, we need to make sure they're really employees. Two, we need to probably determine which departments are really going to use this. If we're going to sign up an entire group or department of people, and they have no intentions of using it, why are we paying for those individuals? I think these are some answers that I'd like to get from Time Clock Plus, and the only way we can do that is if they probably come in and talk to us. I'll get with the Treasury Department maybe and see if they can take a look at that census and send it out and find out who's actually registered currently.
Chair, you Time Clock Plus?
Again, do you need time?
And I bet you there's a bunch of deputies that either are here or are not here are registered on that system, and we're paying for them every single.
Well, that's the jail staff.
Yeah.
Jail staff was the ones that were trying to use them in the dispatch, but they never could get the hardware.
If we get a system that really works, that means it's something that would be beneficial to you.
We would have to have both a fixed time clock there at the office, plus an application for our road patrol and investigators and stuff like that. That way, before all we had was a hard time clock that was there in the hallway. It would be fantastic. It would help us tremendously as far as like closing out employees' time and being able to monitor that. It would.
Yeah. And
because right now we do the old antiquated spreadsheets and hard time sheets and.
Right.
And
I think they had it before. It's just what we were using.
Sure.
What we were asking for was a different animal.
Yeah.
That's why I think it needs to start with the department to see if it's going to fit their needs. One of the largest and most beneficial to the county would be the Road and Bridge Department. The fact, man hours and et cetera, full grants.
And we talked about accrual time, comp time, about all that. If that could all work.
But every discussion that I've had with Rhonda, that it can all be done. It's just not what was asked for originally.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
Commissioner, like she was talking about, say the deputies that are going on patrol, do they have something that they can put in the car to say, hey, because you know their offices, that car, they get in, they're in there, they're at work, they're on the road.
Yeah. There are people that have been using it.
Yeah, you can set parameters where it can work, where, you know, if Ms. Newton's office, I'm just going to use that as an example, if she wants them to log on their phone, then she can give authorization to do that. If she says it's got to be in the parking lot or if it's got to be on the computer, parameters can be set.
Yeah, I know there's an application and it's got geofencing.
Yeah.
You know, we even share if you could do that, or maybe somebody couldn't log in outside of the county, or you know, in this case, like you said, they'd have to be within the perimeter of the courthouse in order to use their phone app and not logging in, you know, from home, drinking a cup of coffee, and then arrive 30 minutes later. So I know it's all available. I know it can happen. Like I said, I really think we need to find out who all currently registered and then probably start re-registering.
Is it $31 per month or per year?
Per year, the way it's really not a big cost. I mean, you guys got that, right? It's 5,000 and then the hardware. So you're looking at $6,500 a year. Is that correct? This is kind of, like I said, it's not really a contract. So it's, I read somewhere that this was the annual.
You know, there's several different options. Of course, if you design on longer, get cheaper.
Yeah. Contract. Somewhere where it's stated there. Because I had that same question. And if it's a month, then that'd be a whole different question. Do we know that? Annual. Yeah. I've also reviewed your account. I see that you have Time Clock Plus annual subscription.
Yep.
Everything that I read. and you know, do the 5th. Maybe we can get them to just extend it to the 10th. Send us a executable contract. And then maybe have them come in on the next report. Hopefully they will have had time to talk to all the different divisions, and then we can have a meeting before the 10th. I'm okay with that. Dedicated just the timekeeping.
I'm fine with it.
Which one? Do you want to
get it done?
Try to get them to extend it, or do you want to maybe do a workshop?
I think we do one before the 5th.
Yeah.
Okay.
Get it done. If we're gonna, so we already paid our hardware bill.
Was the hardware bill, this is where we get, was the hardware bill in the rears, or was it for the future? For the what? For the future or the rears? Okay. So we're really not. Yeah. So, we were paying for last year.
It said it started a new year subscription for the hardware support.
Oh, okay.
The hardware was a little ahead of that.
And how it got set up like that,
right.
I don't know if it was by design.
Hooked you on the hardware.
Gotcha.
Okay, so the hardware is paid. And again, I'm 100% in support, have been. I think they can do everything we need. We just, we don't need to do the same thing we did last time. Sign up for it and expect different results if we don't get it straight of what they're going to provide us. But I think it's a value. All right.
Speaking to the sheriff's office, we would very much love to have some sort of information meeting with them. And sure would save a lot of man hours on our equipment.
That's why I reached out to Rhonda, because we're.
You got to think of all the different computers all have to come up the hill and land on his desk, and then it's got to go between him and Randy. And I mean, it's just so many hours are spent.
Of course, we say before June 5th. Wow, that's.
That's all you look now. Not many days.
That's not many.
Really. You got 3 this week and 3 next week.
I could be wrong on the 5th, but I'm pretty sure it was the 5th. I can find it on that email. But I know it was the beginning.
I think it warrants, certainly, before we just, not big money, but why throw any money away if we're not going to get it? And we certainly haven't been getting the value.
Well, it ought to be cleaned up every year.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. As an employee leaves and taken out, onboarding, they should be put in. Yeah, he only references that it's coming up. These.
I don't know if they can. Before the 5th, I don't know if they can have enough people to show it off. But I'm good for any of them.
I'm pretty open too.
Maybe.
So we can get it squared away and gone out of the way. Let's see if they can fix it.
Shellfish Cove, go to the Shell Department.
Well, 169, yeah, I bet. What do we have? 216 some odd employees. Yeah, 169. That should include the Sheriff's Department. So they're all enrolled, and I bet you for the last 2 years or more, yeah, we've been paying them.
Yeah.
So my point is you know, once we determine how many, and I'm sure if we add a new employee, I don't know how they handle that. In other words, if our employee roster goes from 169 to 173, they probably charge us the difference.
Oh, right.
And that's where I don't know if we, these are the questions. We go from 169 to 150, then our yearly rate should go down.
I mean, we could table it for a minute and see if she can get,
if they want to,
the treasurer's office can set something up and then give us a date.
Okay.
No problem, isn't it?
That a motion?
Table it and get with the treasurer's office to set up the date.
Table to later on in the meeting.
Yeah.
There's a motion table from Commissioner Matthews, second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 9? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 10 is to consider Texas New Mexico Power 10MP easement and right-of-way agreement. That document went out, I believe, in your packets. That is an easement to the east side of this building. That is on county-owned property between this building and property owned by the First Baptist Church of Gatesville. I believe Mr. Belt had crafted this. I'm not sure exactly what all the intent of it was, because I don't know that we need to necessarily reserve the right to cultivate crops, pasture, construct fences of reasonable. I don't understand all the wording that is in here.
Yeah, I know he is going to be here today.
That is he?
I don't know.
That, I mean,
that.
Just in time. We're all
your timing is impeccable, Mr. Bell. You should have moved a little slower. We are currently on item number 10 of the agenda, which is considering the Texas New Mexico Power Company easement and right-of-way agreement. What's that?
He's talking to him one minute.
That,
Mr. Matthews, you talked to him,
right? So, in just reading through this, you know, and I'm not trying to pick on words, but we're reserving the right to cultivate crops, pasture, construct fences of reasonable heights, and various other things as part of a utility easement, which I believe is depicted in the exhibit. And that really is the driveway or the paved area between this building and First Baptist Church from Leon Street to Main Street. Is that correct?
That little strip through there is where that big transformer thing sits now on the ground, the big box. I don't know where it is exactly. And they're going to redo the reset poles all around here. They've already worked on a good many of them. My understanding is they're replacing that box or
don't know if they'll put it in the exact same spot or what their plan is. They've got an old easement, is my understanding, but I don't know if you've ever dealt with Texas, Mexico before or not. But this is, they have a SOP that they go by, and that's where this comes from.
They're going overhead because they no longer can get access to the transformers that go in the box. One part of the box will remain because that's where the suite for the power to come into the building. But they're potentially going to have set to in the grassy area along with a guide wire on the concrete side.
I don't know if you saw or not, Judge, they also got an easement from the church. So that's the reason they had to do a survey. If you saw that, even there was an email forwarded, they're discussing about the having a survey to, for the easement from the church. I'm not sure that they
I'd make a motion to approve the Texas New Mexico Power easement highway agreement.
We have a motion to approve the easement and right-of-way agreement from Commissioner Matthews.
Thank you.
Second from Commissioner Taylor. Any other discussions? Is there not any way for us to get more than $10 out of them?
I definitely see that $10, Judge. It probably says $10 is really good, valuable consideration.
It does.
It's hereby.
That, you're good with $10 and other good and valuable consideration. I take silence as consent. We've got a motion and a second on the floor to approve the agreement. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item number 11 is to consider actions to repair or replace the roof on the annex building, which is also known as the probation office in Coppers Cove, located at 102 West Avenue F, to include an order granting discretionary exemption to the competitive bidding requirements. That order went out in your packet, as well as the bids that I believe had been assembled and distributed to you from Commissioner Basham. And with that, I'll let Commissioner Basham fill you in on what we've got going on over there.
Yes, we've got a roof issue over there, pretty bad over there in Coppers Cove, with juvenile and adult probation building. PAC did come and look at the roof. I have not heard back from them. They didn't come look at it. And I did get three quotes. And, with that building, it rained again, and it's just doing more damage. And I know if we went out for an RFP that it would, right now, guys, kind of in rainy season, I'd like to move forward on fixing that roof. But like I said, I'd also like to see this tag out today. But I did get three quotes for y'all to look at. They're kind of all over the place. But we definitely do have an issue with it. It's definitely hurt with the seven leaks that we have right now. It's definitely done more damage to the building. And they got some more water damage this every this morning.
When the roofing guys are there, can you talk about maybe just doing temporary repairs until we find out about insurance or no?
I did not get that. That's on me. I just got it's really bad. I mean, the air conditioners have dents in it. This event happened when they had the golf ball pull side.
Yeah.
Pull ball. Bigger than, and there was actually a roof that was right beside the building that was blow off. Our roof did get some pretty bad damage, but I think our deductible, even if they do have this, around
$25,000.
Yeah, that's fine. Just going to bring it to the court. have some talks about it, get a feel for it. Or if, like I said, it kind of hurts when you haven't heard back from, you know, what's the tax.
I make a motion to approve court order CC-25-03.
We got a motion from Commissioner Matthews to approve court order CC-25-03, which is the order granting the discretionary exemption to the competing bidding requirements.
Second.
Second from Commissioner Basham. Any further discussion on item number 11? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 12 is to consider issuing RFP 2025-03 for county employee health care.
We talked about it, and again, we need to get information out there for these insurance companies to give us some proposals. We have got information back from Thought and Wyatt. It's somewhat, I'll say, trivial, but it's been, they had to go through it because it's got my AMC chapter. So I guess it is kind of tricky, but I would think between the county attorney and the treasurer's office, and after we got that information, that send it all out, let them complete an RFP with the documentation that we need to meet what we currently have, or a better product. But I think we're, again, against the timeline that we need to move.
From the last version, you all saw 519.25?
Yes.
Version 3? Okay.
Well, mine's cut off, though. It's got to be version 3.
So yes.
RFP number 25-03.
Yes, but what's the version on it? So 522.25.1 is the last one that I prepared. Some of you got it or not. So.
This 19. Let's see if I can.
So the main changes, so there are some more changes to be made. Terry went through it and put the benefits trust stuff back in it. She put the seal on the front page. She fixed some typographical errors, some underlining, and some font size issues that I had messed up. And the only substantive changes, besides those, so there are substantive changes, but is I added that language that we talked about to the attachment B. I don't know if it's on dollars or not. It'll be page 23, attachment B. Proposal form. That stuff that we talked about that I believe Kristen had provided me a list of things that were in our current plan that were not on this list of proposal requests.
Yeah.
So I added a paragraph underneath that first table on page 23 on that schedule B that says current coverage includes, and I listed those things, preventative care, allergen testing, cardiovascular screening, hospice, durable medical equipment, mental health care, diabetes, hearing aids, chiropractic care, home health care, nutritional counseling. And please note whether these items are covered or not in any proposal that we would have prepared, whether they include them or not. I don't know how else to try to put it in there.
Are you then pretty good with the revision 03? I mean, give or take.
Yes, I think this is fine, except for some of the, and not Sherry's fault because she never seen this one, but the changes she made were to a previous version, so I couldn't just accept the changes because I had made some changes. There were a couple of bells that I'd already changed to Coriel. There were a couple other, there were a few things that I'd already fixed. Of course, she didn't know that, so I couldn't just accept her changes. So we're going to have to go through this version and fix it, which won't take much. It's just putting that trust language back in there, putting the seal on the front page, and check in those topographical areas that she found and see if I fixed them or not. Because some of them I know I fixed, some of them I know I did not fix. So we just got to go through and clean it up a little bit.
That's anything. They're not ever going to be perfect, but okay. I'd make a motion that we court authorizes issuing an RFP 2025-03 for county employee health care based on county attorney and treasurer's office finalizing changes.
Thank you. There's a motion to approve the RFP from Commissioner Weddle, a second from Commissioner Basham. Any further discussion on item number 12?
Deductible being calendar year instead of fiscal year, and our contract being fiscal year instead of calendar year. I don't know what to do about that.
Hopefully, we've made a decision.
I don't know how to, let's see what I ended up doing here.
Well, I think she was going to check with them, right? Check with somebody.
Yeah, to see if they.
Well, we're seeing how many people we had that were close.
Right.
So I don't know if we get that answer.
Would that not be an issue to address as part of our contractual negotiations?
Yeah.
Because this may be, depending on who the county were to select and what offer was made, because I do know that there are some other governmental entities that have signed 2 and 3 year contracts with some local health insurance providers. And so as part of our negotiations, we could get that on either our fiscal or calendar year, depending upon how we choose to address that.
Yes, I just wanted to make sure that it was worded in here so that we got at least initially. Well, I don't know where we were on these yet. Yeah. Yes.
Right. I know in one section, it clearly states that it's going to start October 1st.
Right.
But the incumbent would certainly know what our period is. Any others that bid it, they're not going to know about the fiscal versus physical year. So I that's what I was thinking. If somebody comes in really good, we bring them in. We negotiate with them, trying to get that incorporated somehow. It's still going to be a royal pain switching. Or I think it'll be a royal pain.
More likely than not.
Yeah.
I did get fun.
It could be. I don't know.
That is being positive.
Mr. Belt, any other issues concerning the RFP that you need addressed?
No, I don't think I have that addressed. And I can certainly work with the treasurer to come up with some language for that. I guess, would it be okay, y'all, if I put something in there that just said we're currently on this, we will entertain proposals that either stay on this and adjust accordingly or that change to fiscal year out of pocket taxes and such, or that will, that issue will be addressed during contract negotiations or something like that, just to let them know that we're flexible. But we know it's an issue that they're going to have to address. But we're flexible either way, or are we not flexible? We want to stay on calendar year, or do we want to go to fiscal year? Because if we do, if the pleasure of the court is to go to fiscal year or to stay with calendar year. And we're pretty adamant that's what we want to do, then we might as well go ahead and tell them. If we're open to suggestions, then we might as well tell them that we know this is an issue. We're open to suggestions. We'll negotiate, you know, with the provider that we choose on how to address the issue.
If we do not tell them, I have no doubt in my mind we are going to get proposals that offer differing pricings that we cannot compare apples to apples and oranges to oranges.
I would just soon tell.
Yes.
Yes.
I agree.
But well, so we can do that. We can switch to fiscal year at renewal.
So, yeah, I mean, as part of my motion, that's why I left it kind of open at this point. But, yes, I think we should disclose that, get it out in the form. And so my motion still, you know, stands to give you guys the authority to finalize this, but get it out. Yeah, make that change. I think is perfect.
So you think I'll tell them that we want to go to fiscal year?
Yes.
I don't know enough about the health insurance piece of it to say what are the pros and cons versus, I mean, because we're on this schedule for some reason. I don't know what that reason is. I mean, I've got no idea. I cannot.
That was the advantage of the insurance company. Mm-hmm. Not advantage. It made it easier for them.
I don't know what that is. I'm not doubting.
Yeah.
It's
easier for us.
So with that, I mean, it's six of one, half does the other. Now, is it going to have an impact on us and our employees? Yes. Can't begin to tell you what that impact is. But I do think we need to stipulate that the proposals are based off of X, whatever X is. And that's how those proposals should be received so that we are comparing apples to apples and oranges to oranges.
So what you said was, I think, just about right. Yeah. Those, let it be known that the county is currently on a fiscal year of January 1 with our, you know, the way we collect our funds, we need it to be from our fiscal year starting October 1, knowing that there's a three-month gap. What are your ideas? Put that in your proposals.
Yeah, okay.
Something like that. I mean,
well, them. Everybody will do the same thing then if we do that.
Right. Yeah.
We tell them all we would like to move to the fiscal year on our deductibles and max out-of-pockets. So then you'll be worried, right? All proposals should address that issue. If we end up looking at the proposals we get and picking a vendor, and that vendor comes to us and says, you guys really don't want to do this, y'all ought to stay with this, then we can always negotiate that contract.
Right.
Then we'll do it with the vendor that we choose, but we'll be comparing apples to apples.
Okay.
Everybody's happy to come up with something that makes sense. They'll help you.
We had a motion to approve issuing the RFP from Commissioner Weddle, and there was a second from Commissioner Basham. Any further discussion considering item number 12? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 13 is to pay bills. We've had bills presented in the amount of $1,094,632.32. We got a motion to pay bills from Commissioner Matthews.
Second.
Second from Commissioner Taylor.
I have a question regarding the bill. Okay. So this goes way back. I noticed in here, and I know Mr. Belt will know about this, on page 2, Endeavor Real Estate Group, $51,248.88.
For the Five Hills, I did check, and it goes back to 2014 as part of the Economic Development Group. That's all. Is this some kind of tax abatement thing that we had an agreement on? Since
it was a 381 agreement, too. Give me just a second. I haven't talked about it.
And it is. It is a tax. It's a
tax refund.
Refund.
Years, or $10 million, whichever comes first. Right.
So, but it's a sales tax reimbursement. Mm-hmm. So they place my sales taxes, yeah. And they've agreed to give them some of that back.
Okay. So it's 25%
of the taxable value that's increased since 2011. November 2011, we got to do that.
Yeah. Okay. Contract. I mean, I figured it was. I just had. I looked at that and went, "Oh, 51,000. What the heck?" To a real estate group. I thought Five Hills was an oil. Oh, that was that development, right? Mm. Up on the hill. Okay. I'm good.
Any further discussion under paying bills?
There wasn't a second. I'll second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Matthews, second from Commissioner Taylor. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Going back to revisit item number 9, which was discuss and consider renewing the contract with Time Clock Plus.
Do you think there's a chance to get Time Clock Plus in here to answer the court's questions?
I had them set up for a meeting on Zoom and it was never put back on, so I'm assuming that they would again agree to. We just have to make sure that they're on the agenda so I can tell them that. All the stuff. I don't know that they would be here physically,
right.
But they agreed to do it.
But
anyway.
I think we were looking at the
before the
5th. But yeah, is it the 5th, or am I imagining that date? That's the deadline.
I have no clue. I handed all that off to Matthew and to you. Okay. I'm doing it
the whole time.
It would be Ronna,
yeah,
friend that
yeah.
I talked to you, so. I mean, I can email them an app.
Well, we could, Mr. Bell, yes. Well, I don't know if somebody said it was the same thing as that. We could be a working meeting, no decisions are made. We just ask questions so people could even attend from, if it's a Zoom meeting, then I would assume we could attend via Zoom, Mr. Bell. If it's just a
workshop.
Workshop.
They could do it. And they could even appear by Zoom, yes. And they just host it on the Teams meeting or Zoom meeting, where they wanted to give us information about their product and their contract and their options for training and usage.
June 3rd. Good.
I don't have access to my calendar here. I'll have to look, but
and then one of the comments, the proposal they sent was based on 169 employees.
Yeah, I don't have an answer for you because that's never been a question asked in the past. I mean, it's been about the same all these years.
Right.
People come and go. So if somebody leaves, they replace them. So, you know, I don't know the answer to that. That would be for them to.
I would assume they would have to have.
I would think.
Somewhere in the system, there's a name.
Well, in the past, there's been people in there that have never been clocked in before. So
right.
We're trying to work on cleaning that up as right. Well as we're going. But, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's where they got the number from. I didn't turn a number in. They got that from the system. So.
Yeah, I'm glad you said it back. That's why they're here.
Yeah.
Well, if they can't do it on the third, y'all would just say the third, fourth, and fifth, just to make sure that there's a window there that we can do it.
Oh, they're salespeople. I'm just saying, I guarantee you.
I guarantee that.
Yeah, they want to keep us as a customer. They're gonna. Nine a.m. June 3rd.
I know there are several agencies in our county that will not be open 9 a.m. first Tuesday of the month.
Okay.
Wednesday.
Any day, fine with me.
Wednesday the 4th better?
Yes.
I've got court on Wednesdays.
If you're going to finish the time on the 3rd, is this going to be like technical questions and stuff? Because I've already got that going with, or is it just questions about billing and contract?
Okay. I heard that question. So afternoon would be okay?
Yeah, usually we're done by about 10:30.
Oh, okay. Tuesday 1?
What I would say. On the 3rd.
Good. You see if that fits and then schedule a workshop.
I think some will be technical questions, but there'll be questions like the how many people, if you know, are you counting that are not logged in, you know, that just, and then of course some of those questions that you're already working on, just reassurance, and then, you know, for the sheriff's department with the kiosk and the ability on a phone or a computer, and you know, for those folks on patrol, CID, etc.
Okay.
How do we handle
it? Trying to answer those questions if we don't pay for a project.
I'm going to give them a heads up. What not necessarily everything that will be asked, but what to expect, because pricing will be somebody different than other stuff.
And then, you know, if you could encourage them to reach out to the departments. I know they've already, I think.
So we're working internally first with me before I send them out to each department to make sure that Ryan doesn't give his people 82 hours where they should have 80 hours of vacation, stuff like that, to get the technical stuff correct first. And then each department will have time with them, not only for training, but to make sure, like with Mr. Latham's group that gets hours if they get called out during the middle of the night, stuff like that. So.
The sheriff was here, and he said he would certainly agree that it would be good for them if we can get it straight, so they'd be willing to have that meeting.
So currently, right now, I told them we need to focus on the people that are currently on it to get it right before we roll it out to the other departments. We need to get everybody's, all the rules set up, everything fixed before we try to pull new people in. Especially a big department like that. We need to get Justin's our biggest department on it right now. So we want to get that fixed before we pull others in. But we're meeting once a week, at least me and the guy from Comcom Plus. So
awesome. Thank you.
And everybody is aware that Comcom is not an app, it's a link, right? Because you can go on your phone.
Yeah.
I can clock right now if I wanted to.
It is, but there is also an app for
There's other ways,
but we have to do geofencing and stuff like that because want to keep people from clocking in at Walmart.
Yeah,
they're running late in
that now.
I mean, yes, exactly.
Right. Is there an action that the court wishes to take under item number 9?
We don't need to do one for the workshop, do we? Just, is that good enough?
I think for posterity, it would be appropriate to
make a motion that we set a workshop on June the 3rd at 1 p.m. with time clock plus.
Same.
Got a motion to set the set an agenda for a workshop with time clock plus on June 3rd at 1 p.m. from Commissioner Weddle, a second from Commissioner Matthews. Any further discussion under item number 9? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item number 14, reports. Commissioner Matthews. All right, very good. Commissioner Whittle.
Just kind of want to give everybody a heads up on June the 10th Commissioners Court meeting. I'm going to be requesting a budget review, and I will have Mr. Wood send the latest full-blown expense. Can you get when would be the earliest that you could get those out that would include everything through May?
Yeah, we should close out the first of June.
Okay. And, right. So as soon as those close out, could you send the entire court, I guess, the latest budget so we can kind of see where we are this year? I know there's some areas we're doing really good and there's some areas we're not. So, that's all I got. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Basham.
Enjoy the rain. Nice. Hope everybody had a good vacation, Memorial Day.
Yeah. Rain gauge, 2 1/4 here.
That's all I get.
Okay. Commissioner Taylor.
Yeah. Y'all ain't got anything to do this coming Saturday. You go to make a trip to Austin, watch the little girl Jones wear softball playing their second straight state title game. They pulled out the doubleheader Saturday night. The first game was pretty easy. The second one, a little bit closer. But
that's awesome.
Yeah.
They're going back for a repeat, hopefully.
Hopefully it's on the outskirts of Austin, not...
Oh, that's right. UT.
Yeah.
It's easy to get to. Right
yeah.
There
yeah.
If you just got to get there.
Yeah.
At 10 o'clock,
by the way.
Other than that, that's all I have.
Okay. Thank you. As a reminder to the court, TxDOT and the public in general, TxDOT is starting or has started a pretty extensive $4.8 million reworking of FM 1829 that stretches from Highway 84 to FM 107. That project is scheduled to be in the works until next spring. So FM 1829 is closed to through traffic. It is for local traffic only, according to their press release. We have a workshop for buildings and facilities scheduled for 1:30. So until that time, we are in recess. Thank you.
Yeah.